Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you on this Tuesday live. Here we are on the 6th, 7th of Elul, and the 10th of September. Wow, just hit me. Wow, 9/11 is tomorrow. 23 years.
Wow.
Remember that day? I've mentioned before on the radio that I was in New York on that day. And I was in yeshiva. And the yeshiva was high up on the third floor with a view of the whole Manhattan skyline. And with my own eyes, I saw the second plane go into the tower. But that's not what today's show is about. Today, we're a week into the month of Elul. 3 weeks from tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. Wow. 3 weeks from tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. Ouch. Let's internalize that. 3 weeks from tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. I guess the reason why I'm being so slow today and I have to repeat it to myself is I just landed from an overseas trip last night. And like, thank God, just had a wedding and in a family. And it's like, wow. Wow, Rosh Hashanah's in 3 weeks. That's very short. And in the lead up time, the month of Elul, no other holiday has such a lead up to it, where every day we're blowing the shofar and every day we're hopefully getting closer to Hashem and every day we're saying extra tillim and every day we're saying the paragraph L'David Hashemori and every day we're taking account of where we are, hopefully, during this month. And for a moment, at least the beginning of the show, let's see where it evolves after that. I want to talk, you know, today it's the Verbringen show, what we call it. I want to bring on this concept of repentance. You know, the idea of tshuva, returning to Hashem, that the person owns their mistakes. And I want to talk about it so much from the guilt trip or even from the religious perspective, which it obviously is a religious idea, but from what it tells us at a very basic human level. When I tell you, or you tell me that we have to fix what we've done wrong, fundamentally, that declares that you and I are accountable for what we've done. And that simple idea, which was obvious to many over thousands and thousands of years, is today quite a profound idea. In other words, the idea of tshuva, I think, today needs to resonate more than it did in the past, because today we don't live in a time where we encourage radical accountability, where we encourage people to fix up the mess they made. Rather, we try to explain away the mess they made. Why did he or she act that way? Because of their childhood, because of their parents, because of their mental condition, because of their environment, because of the people that educated them, because of what they watched on TikTok, because of personality disorders they may have, whatever. But every person and every decision that they do today is justified or explained away by circumstances outside them, their own decision-making. In other words, how often does a person say, I messed up, I made the wrong choice? No, I didn't mess. First of all, I didn't mess up. Second of all, it was definitely not the wrong choice. I've shared the story before. I think, you know, certain stories that every year when it comes this time of the year, it needs to be repeated. This is one of the stories. We'll try to get as much of the story as possible before before our next song, and then we could sing and hopefully unpack it. But one of my favorite stories that really connects to this time of year is this fellow who, at some stage of his life, he became a very, very devout and sincere and passionate and individual and a real role model of what it means to be wholehearted in the service of God and the service of others. And they asked him to explain or describe how he developed into that person. In other words, was he born this way or was it a journey? And he described his journey in a very vivid imagery that I really think is worthy of us unpacking and exploring in our own lives. He impacted like this. He says, when I was younger and I did something wrong and someone would highlight it to me, I couldn't see it. When I would reach the words in the prayers that I've sinned, chatasi, I've sinned, I would ask myself, really? I don't sin. I don't do anything wrong. I'm perfect. I'm amazing. Really? You're calling me out on something? How dare you? I'm sorted. I don't do anything wrong. So when I would say the words in prayer that I've sinned, I would think to myself, I didn't sin. I did nothing wrong. But eventually, I reached a stage where I was like, I started, you know, evolving on my journey, and I became more aware that I am far from perfect and that I really, unfortunately, messed it up quite a few times in my life. And I suddenly realized, wow, I've really done a lot of mistakes. But I thought to myself, one second, it's not me that did the mistakes. It's my mom. It's my dad. It's my teachers. It's my environment. It's the videos I watched. It's the experiences I had. They're to blame. I've done nothing wrong. So when I would reach the words in the prayer that says, Chatasi, I've sinned, I would interpret it as he sinned, she sinned, the other person. I've done nothing wrong. Whatever bad things came out of my behavior, it's not my fault. He says, eventually, I matured more in my journey. And I realized I have to be accountable for my decisions. I can't sit there blaming it on everything on my mommy and daddy and the environment. But then I had this thought that came and said, okay, take accountability for your own mistakes, but let's be honest, who are you fooling? You're going to do the same thing tomorrow. Nothing's going to change, man. It's the same. It's the same. You can do the exact same thing tomorrow. So when I reached the words, chatasi, I sinned, I interpreted it like this. I've sinned, and I'll continue to sin. And the fellow finishes off describing his journey. He says, first, I thought that I sinned means I didn't sin. Someone else did. No, the first one's I didn't sin. Nothing was done wrong. Then something was done wrong, but it's not my fault. And the third one was, I've sinned and I'm going to continue to sin. He says, finally, I've reached a stage in my journey where I realized I messed up and never again. I can't make that mistake again. And that's when tshuva really begins. That's when return really begins. That's when repentance really begins. When I realize I've sinned, chatasi ulolam la'od, and never again. And the truth is, those four stages, those four ways of understanding accountability exist in each and every one of us. There's stuff in our life that we deny that we're doing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. There's stuff that we acknowledge that we do wrong, but we blame it on other people. And there's stuff that we do wrong, but we say, this is who I am, and I'm going to continue doing it. But then there has to be the fourth level, which everything moves into, and that is, I take accountability, and I'm going to stop it. And that's what we are. We're now in the month of Elul. We're in the month of repentance. We're in the month of accountability. And accountability, tshuva, is the greatest antidote to so much of the world we live in, so many of the narratives that are being bought into by so many of us, that we are not 100% accountable, that the environment affects us, and that our traumas affect us, and that the things that happened to us affected us, and that our conditions affect us. And tshuva comes and says, all nice and fine, all beautiful, great excuses. But you and I need to own our stuff and decide to do better. So yes, we've heard for as long as we've been alive, every time we showed up to shul and we heard a drush or we opened the siddur and we read the service and it says, I've made a mistake. I've sinned. I've made a mistake. And we're like, okay, we're fine. Do you realize how profound that idea is? I made a mistake. No blame. There's no part of the service that sits there saying, dear God, please forgive me because my mommy didn't give me love when I was 14. Please forgive me because my fourth grade teacher was a bully. So therefore, I did nothing wrong. There's nothing like that. It's radical accountability. Because if I can't take radical accountability on my own life and choose to turn it around, then who can? This is 101.9. FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul, and here we are on this Tuesday, and we are exploring together the idea, the fundamental core idea behind what we do this month of Elul and the 10 days of Tshuva. And the core idea is, if God expects us to repent, then by natural assumption, in other words, fundamentally what he's saying is, I hold you accountable for what you've done. And if he holds us accountable, that means I can't blame, I can't deflect, I can't just say, this is who I am, I need to own my stuff. And that is desperately hard. There's very few things in life that are as hard as accountability. To really say, I'm sorry for the stuff I've done wrong, ouch. That means I have to accept I've done wrong. It means I cannot blame somebody else. And I can't just sit there saying, this is who I am and I'm not going to change. I have to own that I've done it. I have to own that it's me and nobody else's fault. As one person put it to me so beautifully, it might be other people's fault, but it's your problem. And number three, I have to be determined to do better next time. When a person goes through that process in their tshuva, unbelievable. Then they're living a life of incredible accountability. They mess up and they fix it. Now, what more can you ask a person? Tshuva is God declaring to us, I'm holding you accountable. And if you open the Torah, you open the Chumash, and you literally go through the stories, you'll see over and over God waiting for people to be accountable. It starts in pretty much the beginning of creation, right? The most famous story of the tree of knowledge, chapter 3 in the book of Bereshit and the book of Genesis. The serpent convinces Eve, Chava, to eat from the tree. She then convinces her husband. Now God had warned Adam not to eat from the tree, and he had passed over the warning to Chava, to his wife. But now they did. So what happens? God approaches and calls out to Adam, and the first question he asks him is, Ayeka, where are you? And the way Rav Shneur Zalman interprets it, where are you in life? Not only a physical space, where are you? Where are you holding? And Adam responds quite literally, I heard your voice and I'm hiding because I'm undressed. And God says, who told you you were undressed? Who gave you that awareness? Obviously, you knew you were undressed, but who gave you the awareness that that's until they ate from the tree of knowledge, Adam and Eve didn't have that natural shame. And then he says, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And man says, the woman that you gave to me, she made me eat from the tree and therefore I ate. So double blame. Number one, it's not me, it's the woman. And then he throws it right back at God. God, you gave him to me. And like Rashi says, what an ingrate. Kan kafar b'toiv over here, you acted so ungrateful. God gave you a companion. You were desperate for a companion. You were the only human being on this earth. And God kindly gave you a companion. And then you get convinced by her to do the wrong thing. So instead of taking accountability, you blame her and you blame God. So, will he take accountability? Obviously not. Then God turns to Eve and says, what's your story? Why did you do it? And she says, it was the snake. The serpent deceived me, so I ate. Well, that doesn't end too well. Next chapter, chapter 4, you have the story of Cain and Abel, the two brothers of Adam and Eve. They get in a fight, pretty much a one-sided fight. Cain is very jealous of his brother Abel. He kills him. He kills his brother. And God turns to Cain and says, where's your brother? And then he does that passive-aggressive, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? Where's the accountability, people? Where's the accountability? The first time in the Torah you see accountability is towards the end of the book of Genesis, of Bereshit. When the brothers of Joseph sell him as a slave into slavery. And at some stage, they have to come down to Egypt to get food because there's a famine. They travel down from Israel to get food. And they don't know that Joseph is the guy that's in charge, the minister of the economy, minister of food, second in command to the Pharaoh. And he's pushing them. He's putting them under huge pressure, taking away one of their brothers, putting them in captivity. He's playing a game. He's trying to test their resolve. He's trying to test to see, have they evolved? Have they learned the lesson from their terrible mistake of selling their brother into slavery? And that was plan B. The plan A was to murder their brother. Plan B is that they sold him into slavery. And eventually, first real statement of radical accountability. Chapter 42 in the book, verse 21. They said to one another, this is the brothers, the 10 brothers down in Egypt, Aval Ashemim Anachnu. Indeed, we are guilty. They finally realized that what they did 22 years prior was wrong. We are guilty regarding our brother, for we saw his anguish when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. And that is why this misfortune has come to us. In other words, we're in the mess we're in now because we were guilty of what we did. So first of all, they accept upon themselves the challenges they're going through. But equally important, if not more important, is they say those words, Aval, however, indeed, Ashemim Anachnu, we're guilty. No if, but our dad loved our brother too much. That's why they originally threw him in. They were jealous of him. The beginning, they were jealous of their brother, their half-brother, whose mother had died, Rachel. And the father showered incredible love on Joseph, his golden boy, gave him a special garment. He was so jealous. 22 years ago, they wanted to kill him. L'chuvin argeo, let's come and kill him. And eventually they sell him into slavery. No accountability. Zero. They come back to their father and say, your son's dead. But now, 22 years later, they realize something. And it's something that we all ought to realize. That you can only become the person you need to become when you're able to take accountability for your actions and stop blaming. The message of tshuva, the message of el to each and every one of us fundamentally is, we create the messes we're in and we need to fix it. We are the problem, we are the solution. Yes, we have to ask for God's help, and yes, we need divine intervention, and yes, if not for God's help, we wouldn't be able to overcome the battles within ourselves and the battles of the world. But we also have to take accountability. How did we get into this mess? You can't just sit there saying, oh my gosh, it just happened to me, right? There's some people, I don't know what I've done wrong. It just always happens to me. Sometimes we don't know, but often we do. And if we have true integrity and we're willing to ask the hard questions, we can come up with incredible answers. Not to excuse God. It's not about excusing God. It's about finding what is God's message to me and where can I do better. Because if I don't have agency on my own life, honestly, what's the point of living? I'm just a robot. I'm just a piece in somebody else's puzzle. I'm a part of a play, but I have no agency in the game, in the play I'm playing. The gift of life is free choice. The gift of life is that I have choices. I could do X or Y. I could do the right thing or the wrong thing. I have to choose between two right things. Sometimes I have to choose between two hard decisions. But the point is, I have to make choices, and I am capable to make choices. That's the gift of life. And to abdicate that gift, there's few things sadder in this world. And this time of the year comes and reminds us to take accountability on where we're at and to be determined to do better. This is 101.9. Chai FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. And we are 3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah tomorrow night. Wednesday night will be 3 weeks. And the zone, as we've been exploring this Verbringen, this show, is the idea of Achrayus, taking accountability, taking responsibility for our decisions, which is actually something very liberating. And that's really why I want to sit in the last few minutes of the show on, is when we talk about accountability or radical accountability, the person that's like literally takes ownership on their own stuff, it's not about causing pain. It's a privilege. It's a gift, because when I tell you you could fix your life, when I tell myself, then I can turn my life around. Imagine you tell me I'm only in control of 5% of my life. That's very disempowering. That means I'm just doomed. I'm a victim. When I tell you that other than God's plan for you, in other words, I can't fight certain things that God chose for me, who will live, who will die, who will be poor, who will be wealthy, there's certain things that are out of my control. But there's so much in my control from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep and throughout my sleep as well. I'll decide how to fill my day. I'll decide which thoughts I'll allow in my head. I'll decide which words will come out of my mouth. I'll decide which actions to do. I will decide which relationships to nurture. I have incredible agency on my life. And I'm saying I because just I as in all of us. We have incredible amount of control over our lives, even though we've been told by this narrative that, no, you're not. You're a victim. No, it's not. Shame. Look at how hard you've had it, this and that. We've all had it hard. Some have it harder than others, but the hardship is a way to build. It's not a way to destroy. And the moment I tell you that because of your hardship, you don't have agency on your life, I'm taking away, that's the biggest trauma of all. In other words, if someone goes through a hard moment in life, that's very painful. And we need to have compassion for it, obviously. But the least compassionate thing I could do is tell the person, now you're messed up forever. That happened to you, you're a goner. You can't control your life. You're a victim. What that person did to you, or what the environment did to you, that experience you went through, has ruined you. How patronizing is that? Tshuva, the idea of accountability, is so empowering. It's coming and reminding the person that you are still in control of your life. With Hashem's help, you are in control of your life. You can turn your life around. You can make better choices. You can do better. You can change your thought process. You could change your approach to things. You could even navigate your feelings. You don't necessarily, you can't control every impulse and every feeling that comes to you, but you could be a master of the feelings. You could choose if to indulge in a certain feeling or not. Oh, I was feeling jealous, and now I'm going to sit in jealousy for 3 months. No, I might have the impulse of jealousy, but I could overcome it. I could overcome my impulses. I could overcome my feelings. No, it's what I'm feeling. Right? Today we tell everybody, be true to your feelings. It's what makes you happy. Be true to yourself. I know what people mean when they say be true to yourself, but at a very literal sense, that's one of the stupidest statements you could say. Which part of yourself? If you and I are true to every dark part of our personality, that's bad, right? We all have dark impulses, and we have things about us, and we have negative thoughts, and we have things that God didn't create us perfect. It's not a bad thing. It's not a malfunction in the system. It is the system. The system is we're human. We're not robots. But to say be true to yourself, in other words, whatever you feel, that's the truth. Really? So if I'm feeling jealous, I'm feeling spiteful, I'm feeling vengeful, I'm feeling lustful, I'm feeling anger, I just have to indulge in it? I don't have to deny it. I'm not saying deny your feelings, but indulge in it and be true to it. And just, oh, the other favorite statement that I love is when people say, I don't want you to change a thing. Just stay exactly the way you are. Really? Huh? How does that make any sense? What do you mean stay the way you are? We're supposed to evolve. We're supposed to grow. What does that mean? Stay the way you are. And that's the point. The point of tshuva is not coming and saying stay the way you are. The year 5784, you were perfect. And 5785, stay exactly the way you are. I love when people tell the, you know, kids at their graduation or at their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, you're telling a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, honey, you are beautiful, you're magnificent, you're charming, you're kind, stay exactly the way you are. And I'm like, please don't. It's nice for 12, maybe. It's nice for 13. Why, really? You want them to be at 25 the way they're 12? Oh, it's a figure of speech. I don't know if it's a figure of speech when we tell people stay where they are. We're all here to grow. We're all here to grow. That's the point of life. That's the gift of life. And I can only grow when I take ownership. When I realize that I can't fix things. There's certain things beyond my control. I can't control the global economy. I can't decide who the next president will be, even though it seems to occupy way too much headspace of people. I can't even decide which sport team will win a sport match. But I can decide what to do every minute of this day. And I could decide how to treat the people around me. And I could decide if I could be a positive light in my world or a negative. The amount of control we have on our lives, not on anyone around us, but on our lives, is incredible if we acknowledge it. And that's what the message of this time of the year is. Elul comes and reminds us, you are in control of your life. That's the gift that God gave you. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mir shamayim. Everything is in the hand of heaven besides the fear of heaven. In other words, other than your own choices and how much your attitude to life, it's all in your hands. God has everything besides that, but you have that. You have your attitude. You have your choices. So let's live our choices. How grateful should we be? Even in this imperfect world, and this world is far from perfect. Baruch Hashem, thank God. As the song says, Baruch Hashem, you can't say it enough. Wishing you a great day. And the Shana Tova, Ksivach Simatev, L'Shana Tova, Masukah, may you be inscribed and signed in the Book of Good Life. Wishing you a wonderful, wonderful week. My name is Rabbi Levi Yaftson of Linksfield Shul. L'chaim.